You are Minnesota, a community built on relationships and trust. We get that. At Medica Health Plans, we value the relationships we keep with our members. Relationships built on listening, hearing, and most importantly, understanding. We work hard to be your trusted healthcare partner. We are Medica, and just like you, we're here to stay. When you carry our card, you can be assured we've got you covered.
Thank you for calling Medica. How may I help you?
Welcome back to the Dan Proft Show. I'm John Hinderacher from Powerline, filling in for Dan tonight. And we are joined now by Dr. Alex Barazow. Alex, thanks for being on the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Alex, you wrote a piece at the website of the American Council on Science and Health. And the title is FDA's Reckless Gamble. Emergency use of COVID-19 vaccine prior to phase 3 clinical trial completion is nuts. That's a very strongly worded headline. Tell us what this piece is about, if you would.
Well, sure. So whenever the FDA evaluates a drug, what they're looking to see is that the drug has gone through what are known as clinical trials, and they go through phase 1, phase 2, phase 3. And with each passing phase, the trial gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so with a phase 1 trial, you start with a handful of people, and then phase 2, you might go up to a couple hundred or a couple thousand. And then by the time you get to phase 3, when it's a vaccine, you're looking at maybe 30,000 people. It's a ton of people. The reason that we do this is because vaccines are not like other drugs. If somebody is sick and they're dying, the FDA may give emergency use authorization for a drug because, the person's already not doing well. And so, if you hurt a patient that's already going to die anyway, it doesn't really matter. That's not true of a vaccine. A vaccine, you're going to give that to millions of healthy people, the kids, everybody. And so we want to make sure that these vaccines are completely safe. And the only way that you can do that is through these large-scale clinical trials. Because, imagine if you have a side effect that happens in one out of every 10,000 people. That doesn't sound like a lot, but you won't be able to find it unless you do a sufficiently large phase 3 clinical trial. And then, of course, if you vaccinate 300 million people, 1 in 10,000 actually happens quite a bit. It'll happen around 30,000 times. And so you want to make sure that these vaccines are safe before you do these mass vaccination campaigns. And so The FDA's announcement that it may give emergency use authorization for a vaccine is really not a good idea. There have been some horror stories in the past with vaccines that weren't ready.
Yeah, let's just pause on that for a minute, Alex, because the idea of testing extensively to make sure the vaccine is safe, it's not just kind of a needless precaution. There is a history of vaccines that can cause neurological problems, for example?
Yeah, that's right. Influenza vaccine is known to have triggered Guillain-Barré syndrome. It's sort of this creeping paralysis that causes people to slowly lose sensation and the ability to move their limbs. On the flip side, Guillain-Barré syndrome can actually be caused by the influenza virus itself, and it's 17 times more likely to be caused by the virus than by the vaccine. So you could actually say the vaccine's helping, but the point of the matter is that there will be side effects. And when these side effects start being reported in the media, you can imagine a public backlash. They're going to say, wait a second, this thing wasn't ready. And whenever we already have an anti-vaccine movement that is eager to take advantage of something like this. And so why feed fuel, you know, why fuel that fire by doing something that would sort of essentially asking for trouble?
Now, Dr. Barzow, you wrote your article about 10 days ago. At that time, the FDA had announced that they might grant emergency use authorization before phase three trials are complete. What's happened since then? Is the FDA sticking to that, or have they backed off?
Well, you know, what's happened since then is AstraZeneca, which is a British pharmaceutical firm that's putting out a vaccine with Oxford University, they just suspended one of their clinical trials because one of the volunteers came down with a very serious side effect. And now it's routine for clinical trials to be paused when something like this happens. But it also made huge news, and AstraZeneca's stock fell. And I would imagine it would make the FDA a little more hesitant to issue authorization after something like that has occurred.
And I want to talk when we come back about what the FDA is up to here. We'll be right back after these messages.
Grab a good seat and sharpen your pencils. Class is in session with Professor Dan Proft and the Dan Proft Show.
Welcome back to the Dan Proft Show. We are talking with Dr. Alex Barzow about an article that he had at the website of the American Council on Science and Health about the idea that the Food and Drug Administration has at least talked about authorizing on an emergency basis a COVID-19 vaccine that has not gone through phase three trials. And Dr. Barzow has been explaining why he thinks that is a very poor idea. Alex, one thing I've seen in the news is executives of these pharmaceutical companies that are working on the vaccines saying, you know, don't worry, we don't have any intention of putting out a vaccine that hasn't been thoroughly tested and isn't safe. Can the pharmaceutical companies be relied on for that?
Well, I think that they have a very strong incentive to not want to put out a vaccine that's going to hurt people. You know, Big Pharma already has sort of a nasty reputation in this country. And so if they put out a vaccine that hurts people, you can imagine that that would cause a substantial problem for the company. I think that they're going to be very cautious about this. I also think this could have been a liability move that they're saying, you know, they're sort of maybe giving a subtle hint to the government that, well, you know, we could put out a vaccine, but they're not fully tested. So if there's going to be any issues, the liability is going to be on the government. And maybe that's what they're trying to pull too. It's tough to say, but there are plenty of incentives. You know, but you put out a bad vaccine, they can get sued perhaps. And so there are plenty of incentives, I would think, that the pharmaceutical companies would not want to do something that would harm them.
You know, for some time now, Alex, a lot of people have been looking at the vaccine as the end point of this whole COVID-19 fiasco, in my view, with the shutdowns and so on. It'll be okay once there's a vaccine. I'm not so sure that's true. I mean, I understand that there's never been a successful vaccine for a coronavirus. You can correct me if that's not right. How long have we been waiting for an AIDS vaccine, you know, that never came? Obvious that the vaccine is the panacea, is it?
No, it's not. You are correct. There's never been a vaccine against the coronavirus. In fact, it's a little bit worse than that. There was research into the original SARS virus. That's the cousin of this current virus that came out in 2002, I believe. Researchers tried to make a vaccine against that, and it actually made the disease worse in animal models. So you have to be, you know, that's why, of course, we do the testing. Because sometimes vaccines can do that. It's a phenomenon known as vaccine-enhanced disease. And this happened with also back in the 1960s with a disease called respiratory syncytial virus. And it's a disease that most children get. To this day, we still don't have a vaccine against it because we've never been able to design one. But we tried one in the 1960s, and it killed two kids because they got the disease, and it actually worsened their symptoms, and they died. So, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. A vaccine is not a panacea. It may not work at all. You know, if a vaccine is ineffective, you know, and that's one thing. It means, you know, you get a jab and then nothing happens, or it could actually make things worse. And so, yeah, you're correct. It's not a panacea. We'll wait. And that's why we do the clinical trials.
And of course, as you touched on just briefly earlier in the last segment, you know, there's this whole anti-vaxxer movement in the United States, which I assume has got no scientific basis, you know, parents refusing to have their kids inoculated against measles and so forth. But we're seeing kind of a little modified version of that here, and maybe for political reasons. We've seen both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris express reservations and say, well, I don't know if I'd get a vaccine, you know. And it seems to me that it wouldn't take a lot of that kind of public input to push many, many Americans into the posture of saying, well, I don't think I'll get the vaccine. I'll let everybody else get the vaccine, you know, and I'll kind of wait and see.
That's already happening. There was a poll that came out just maybe a week ago or so that said that 2/3 of Americans will wait. They're not going to be the first in line to get the vaccine. They want to see what happens when other people get it. And that's actually not an unreasonable decision at this point. I am fully pro-vaccine. Yes, as you had mentioned, the anti-vaccine movement has no scientific basis whatsoever. People should be following the vaccine schedule for their kids, making sure they get all the shots, you know, measles and hepatitis and all the things that are out there. They should get those shots. But for this one, this is a new vaccine and it's not fully tested. And I'll tell you what, I probably wouldn't be first in line either. And I'm a big advocate of vaccines. So yeah, we don't want to just, you know, do something reckless like this that could potentially set back the cause of public health by years or decades by causing public to lose confidence in our health institutions.
So part of what's going on here, obviously, is that President Trump announced this initiative, Project Warp Speed, you know, trying to bring a vaccine through development and to market faster than has ever happened before. And obviously, that's a desirable goal if you can do it. But as you say, you certainly don't want to cut corners to do it.
Yeah, that's right. And unfortunately, these things can only be sped up so long. The reason is because it takes a long time to do a clinical trial. Testing 30,000 people is a logistical nightmare. It generally phase three clinical trials take, you know, 4 or 5 years to complete. We're trying to jam this all in just a span of a few months. And the reason that they're hard to do is that these trials involve enrolling, you know, 30,000 people across the world at medical centers, you know, maybe a dozen or so medical centers. And so you have all this coordination that has to be done. And then after you give people the vaccine or a placebo, because, you know, the clinical trial, you're either going to get the real drug or you're going to get nothing. They don't tell you. Then they have to monitor these people for weeks or months because they let them go back, you know, live their lives. And then they got to come back and check in. You know, did you get sick? What kind of side effects are you having? So these things take a long time to do. And, you know, they don't really fall into the current political timeline. I know President Trump wants to have something out before Election Day, but, you know, I'm very, very skeptical of that. Dr. Fauci is as well. You know, I think we'll be lucky to have a vaccine out by early next year, it looks like.
Well, it could be much longer than that, based on the way you described the stage three trials.
It very well could be. Like I said, normally, clinical trials normally run entirely about 10 years. So phase one, phase two, phase three, it's about a 10-year process. The fact that we're jamming this through in about 6 months is in itself miraculous that we're able to do this. You're right. We may not have a vaccine until middle of next year or the end of next year. It's going to depend on how these clinical trials go and if we see more patients having adverse side effects.
The more you'll know. This is the Dan Proft Show.
Welcome back to the program. We are joined again by Dr. Alex Barazal. We've been having a really interesting conversation about vaccines as they relate to COVID-19 and the timeline, stage three trials, and so forth. And Alex, the question I want to wrap up with is, you know, we've kind of been talking as if a vaccine is going to be here and is going to work, but it's a question of when. But that isn't so clear, is it?
No, it's not. And the problem with these vaccines is that if we start seeing more and more and more side effects coming up, you know, that's going to delay whether or not the vaccine is released. Another thing is that we want to make sure they're effective. And the standard that the FDA has put in place is 50% effective, more than placebo. So what they'll do is they will follow all the people who got placebo. So that means nothing. You know, they got a shot, but there was nothing in it. And they'll see, well, how many of them got infected? How many of them got sick, right? And then they'll look at the other group that got the real medicine, the real shot, the real vaccine, and they'll say, was that at least 50% better? Did we have a reduction of infections of 50%? And if the answer to that question is yes, the FDA will say, okay, it's met our efficacy standard. And then they also have safety standards as well. And I'm not exactly sure what those are going to be at this point, but they will then look at the safety to see whether or not the risk is too great for the vaccine, if it has too many side effects or something like that. And then if it passes muster, it will then be allowed to go to market and people will start getting it. But also keep in mind that just because it comes to market doesn't mean you're going to be able to get it right away. Distribution of vaccines itself can take a month. And so, it's going to be a while before people are getting these shots.
In a lot of diseases, there never is a vaccine, right? I mean, do we have some reason to believe that these vaccines people are working on are going to be effective?
Well, we don't know. As you know, as we mentioned earlier, there are no coronavirus vaccines. Some of the other coronaviruses that are common cause the common cold. And we don't have any vaccines against those. And so there may be other approaches, you know, treating symptoms, because if you treat symptoms that kill people, like, you know, whenever people get these infections, sometimes they have really nasty immune reactions. Their immune system goes out of control. So if you're able to treat that with a steroid or an anti-inflammatory, you may save their life without a vaccine. You may not need it. And so, there are going to be multiple approaches here, looking at antivirals, looking at steroids, anti-inflammatory, looking at vaccines. We're going to try to hit this disease from as many angles as possible.
And the vaccine may or may not turn out to be the silver bullet that really makes the difference. Well, Dr.
That's
Alex
exactly Barazal, right.
Yep, Dr. Alex Barazal, thank you so much for being on the program. That's going to be a wrap for this hour. I'm John Hinderacher from Powerline. Thank you all very much for listening.
Far from the fake news, he's always got the real story. This is the Dan Proft Show.
You are fake news.